Hello, I'm Caroline and welcome to the Lightning 50 e-commerce growth hacking podcast. Today we're speaking to James Tai. He's the CEO of Progress Jiu-Jitsu. But before we get to the interview, a quick message from our sponsor. We have an exciting sponsor today, PeopleVox, the warehouse management system helping ambitious e-commerce businesses scale. If you have a growth mindset like lounge underwear, In the Style, or Opoly, you know how important it is to have industry-leading fulfillment and customer experience. PeopleVox offers proven increases in accuracy and transparency across your warehouse, lightning-fast pick-and-pack methods based on industry best practice, and a proven track record partnering with some of the most successful brands of the e-commerce era. All with simple setup and user training, exactly what you need to take control of your warehouse and wow your customers. With established integrations into Shopify, Brightpearl, Inventory Planner, and more, just search PeopleVox and chat to their WMS experts today. And now on to the conversation. James is the CEO of Progress Jiu-Jitsu, which is a training and accessories brand for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu practitioners. He founded the business in 2018, and it's now headquartered in Manchester, shipping to 75 countries, and it's now a seven-figure turnover business. I'm really excited about this conversation to learn exactly how they got to that point and all about their growth. James, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about yourself and the business and what you do and who you sell to.
It started, we actually started importing geese around 2013. It was just a hobby at the time. I started training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in 2009, and just for a bit of fun, because Jiu-Jitsu geese, they're called, or kimonos, they were really expensive. You can only really get them from Brazil or America. So we started importing them, just contacted a couple of factories and more for a bit of fun, really. And then I was training at a really good gym with people that were sort of winning medals at the, you know, British Nationals and things like that. So my teammates were wearing the gear and it went from there. In 2018, we incorporated. We went full-time on the brand, probably 2020, 21, around COVID. And that's when things really kicked off for us, once we started putting all our time and effort into it. And it helps that the sport's actually grown a lot as well. There's loads of people training jiu-jitsu these days, which is great.
That's exciting. So what's made now the time for jiu-jitsu to start exploding, do you reckon?
Well, I think it's on the back of the UFC. I mean, people have started really getting involved in watching mixed martial arts and training mixed martial arts on the back of the success of the UFC. A lot of people don't like boxing or getting punched or kicked in the face, so people naturally sort of gravitate to the sport, which is a little bit less intense, which is jiu-jitsu. They call it the gentle art. So it's kind of like a combination between sort of judo and wrestling, but you don't really get hurt unless you're unlucky. So I think that's why people love training. You can train sort of as well when you're sort of 40, 50, even into your 60s. So it's not like a lot of other sports where it requires a lot of physical attributes. Sort of anyone can train, really.
So an accessible sport. Well, it's great to hear that it's going well. Tell us a little bit more about how the business, the knock-on effect that has had on your business and, yeah, your growth rate. Can you give us some examples of how well you're doing?
Yeah, sure. I mean, as I said, we incorporated in 2018, but then it was still sort of, I still had a full-time job. So it's still sort of a hobby, really, but it started taking over more and more of my time. And obviously it was getting busier and busier. So after we incorporated, we were probably trading for about 2 years before we went full-time. That was around the time of COVID. And since, it was myself, my business partner, and I got a couple of friends involved as well. And then it's just basically, it's been a rocket ship ever since, really. I think it's a combination of the sport growing internationally. It's literally growing in every country around the world, which is amazing. And also our market share and the brand is really growing as well. Mm. As I said, it was a smaller business a few years ago, even just, I think, between 2020 and 21, we went from, I think it was 268,000 turnover to like 1.2 million. Wow. And then I think last year we ended up, or this current year, just the end of this financial year, we've ended up on 2.4 million. And then our current run rate's looking for this, the end of this financial year, to be about 4.5 million.
Wow.
We're growing at a really good rate at the minute, which obviously comes with problems and challenges, but we're kind of getting on top of things now.
Yeah. So tell me, what have been the main challenges about growing at the speed that you have done?
Well, I think we weren't set up for it. We didn't have a solid foundation, really. I mean, what we've done sort of in the last 12 months is put some real solid foundations in place in the business. So we've invested a lot into technology. We're automating a lot of our processes now, and that's just enabled us to grow a little bit with a little bit less pain, really. It's freed up a lot of time. So we can concentrate, instead of like putting fires out, you know, we can concentrate on growing the business in the right way.
So talk to me a little bit more about the automation side. Are you using technology there to help you?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. We basically use, I suppose, the main players, really. We use best in class across most of our tech stack. So we use Shopify, Klaviyo. We use Gorgias for our customer service platform, which is really good. And we also use Monday.com as sort of to manage our workflow. So that's been amazing, to be honest, because instead of us just sort of emailing each other and WhatsApping each other, we've actually got a really good project management platform there where we can action all our meetings, we can put deadlines on things, assign people.
No, I'm sure. So when you think about the growth over the last couple of years, do you put that down to one particular thing? Would it be maybe people, marketing, your product, or even anything else? Is there one thing that you can be like, yeah, that's really helped us grow?
Well, I definitely think it's all of the above. We've recruited some really good people, which has helped a lot. We've got a really strong culture at the minute. We kind of got a culture of like continuous learning in the business. So we're always looking for, you know, we're always doing things like listening to podcasts like this, e-commerce podcasts, business podcasts. We surround ourselves with like really good mentors as well.
Fantastic. So talk to me about the team. So how many people do you have on board at the moment?
We've got 6 full-time, we've got 1 part-time. We also work with some consultants as well, who obviously aren't on the payroll, but they're sort of crucial parts of the team. We've actually started working with VAs as well. So we work with some overseas virtual assistants that they've really helped, to be honest, as well, because it's obviously a cheaper way of accessing, highly skilled people, really. So that frees up a lot of our time. That's enabled us to focus on, you know, driving the business forward as well.
Fantastic. And when you've got like a team of 6 core people, a couple of consultants, VAs, it's still a little bit staggered. You're growing really, really quickly. How are you bringing all of your people together? And I've got some notes here to say that you're pretty hot on like your learning development and things like that. Tell me what you do there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, continuous learning is like one of our sort of brand values. So we're all really big on continuous learning, whether that's like, you know, podcasts, you know, reading books. We've also got, like I mentioned before, about the board advisors. So we've got really strong board advisors at the moment who've been great. They've worked with like some really big e-commerce brands, and now they're helping us. We're sort of learning from their mistakes. We're basically just trying to surround ourselves as many sort of experienced and skilled people as we can. It's kind of like you don't know what you don't know, and that's kind of accelerated us, our knowledge, really.
That's the recipe for success, for surrounding yourself with people that are cleverer than yourself. But this, you know, this coming down from the top down, you're the CEO, learning and development being so important, and, you know, with your team. What did you do in a previous life? Has that always been quite important to you about pushing yourself and learning more?
I've always kind of been quite entrepreneurial. So believe it or not, before we had the jiu-jitsu business, I used to run a hairdressing salon with a business partner. He's actually my business partner now, in progress. He's like, he's like head of design and brand. But before, he was a hairdresser, and I used to manage the hairdressing salons that we had. So, I've always been sort of involved in management. Before that, I was actually a manager for Wetherspoons. So it's been a bit of a varied career, but I've always been involved in management at some level, and, you know, leading people.
And that's so important, isn't it? And learning development is such a big part of that. So going back to growth at the minute, so your focus right now, is it growth or is it profit?
It's a bit of both, to be honest. Traditionally, it was always, over the last few years, it's always been growth, you know, growth, really. Just trying to gain as much market share as we could. We sacrificed a lot of profit in favor of gaining market share. Mm. So, for example, like we were flying stock in as opposed to getting it by sea. We were making probably a lot of mistakes, really. But we just wanted to, we were just super ambitious and really wanted to gain market share and, you know, become a dominant brand in our industry, really. I think now we've kind of quite established as a, you know, a strong brand in our market. We're probably going to slow down the growth a little bit in favor of just maximizing our profit. I mean, we're in single figures for net profit. So the goal is to get that up to double figures, you know, over the next year or two, and then kick on from there, really.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you mentioned mistakes. You know, we don't really like using the word mistake because I'm sure there's loads that you can learn from that and take forward. But what would you say has been some of the biggest learnings from said mistakes or mistake in the past? What's the one thing that's, you know, you can take it away from you and gone, yeah, that happened, but I really, really learned X, Y, Z?
Yeah, I think probably the biggest mistake we've made, if you like, is we probably split ourselves a bit too thin and tried doing a bit too much at once. So we basically tried like taking over Amazon, taking over all these different international markets. And obviously that tied up a lot of cash. It split the team. It spread us really thin. So we've kind of like realized that was a bit of a mistake. We're putting the effort into the wrong areas. And now we're kind of like centralizing our efforts into like what's, you know, our biggest markets and basically what our customers want. Instead of like bringing out random products that, you know, we didn't do a lot of research about and people actually don't need. So we're kind of going back to focusing on our core market and our core business model.
Yeah, spreading yourself thin is not going to be the first and only mistake, you know, young businesses do when you want to try and get in everywhere, especially when you're trying to grow. Are you tired of being buried in excess inventory? Then you need Inventory Planner, the number one demand planning software for e-commerce businesses. Inventory Planner gives you real-time insights to identify slow-moving products, make informed decisions about your inventory, and free up cash flow. Right now, listeners of the Lightning 50 podcast can get a free 14-day trial of this incredible tool by heading to inventory-planner.com. Inventory Planner, never knowingly overbuy again. Well, looking at the landscape of e-commerce right now, what do you think is going to be the one biggest barrier for future growth for not just yourself, but all startups at the minute?
I mean, to be honest, I think it's a really good time to get into e-commerce or to grow your e-commerce brand. I think if you do the basics right, you know, you always learn about what's happening in the industry and keeping up with technological advancements. I don't really think you can go far wrong. It's like super cheap and easy to get into e-commerce and grow. I think people sometimes probably overcomplicate e-commerce like we've certainly done in the past. I think if you just follow like best practice and keep up to date with what's going on, it's a really good time to be in e-commerce.
Yeah. And what are some of the trends that you're seeing at the minute that is kind of like exciting you in this space in terms of e-com?
Well, I just think things are getting easier and easier, more and more accessible. I mean, AI is obviously just launched. I mean, we've not really looked at AI yet, to be honest. But I just think with platforms like Shopify, Klaviyo, you know, all these other big market leaders, it just makes life really easy. It means you can reach markets you probably never reached before. Even with like couriers, you know, most couriers, DPD, DHL, UPS, you can basically ship your products anywhere in the world really quickly, really cheap. I suppose Brexit's been a bit of a nightmare in that respect, especially for our market. That was a big headache. We had a lot of customers in the European Union. Last year, we actually opened up a warehouse in the European Union in Spain just to sort of try and win some of those customers back that we lost through Brexit. But I think political things like that is probably your only problem, really. Everything else going the right way for us.
And those kinds of things, you can't really worry about them because they're so far out of your hands and your business model. What will come will come. But yeah, so you decide, let's dig into that a little bit more. So Brexit happened. You obviously could foresee what might happen. How quickly were you able to get that kind of Spanish warehouse up and running, and how has that helped you?
Well, it was a lot slower than we'd liked. I mean, partly because obviously it's not the easiest place to open a business, Spain. But I mean, I think we're in a really strong position now. It's finally open because a lot of our competitors chose not to make that decision, which was great for us. So I think originally we were obviously still getting orders from the European Union, but we were either passing on the import costs to our customers or we could actually prepay it for them, so it was smoother for them, but obviously more expensive for us. Mm-hmm. It was killing our gross profit, but we opted to do that for our customers for a short term, and then once we opened, it was amazing because we can literally just redirect European Union traffic mm-hmm. to purchase straight from the Spanish store. It was the only problem really was obviously cash flow, because we had to sort of keep two warehouses full, and that was obviously that was a challenge, but we got some support with that, which was good. But I think that's been a really big driver.
Where else is on the maps internationally for you?
Ideal, we would like to be on the ground there at some point, and I think that time will come.
That's exciting. And how do you think the technology side of things is going to help you maybe progress there or in other opportunities?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the moment I'm really confident in our business model. So I think what we can do is kind of optimize it, gain even more market share over the next couple of years. Mm. And then we'd hit the ground running there and just basically rinse and repeat exactly what we've done in the UK. We've already got some good connections over there. We'll be hitting the ground running, because it's not like we're going into a market where nobody knows us. We sponsor some world champions, which are known household names over there. So I think it's kind of like not overcomplicating the process, just kind of doing what works here, replicating it in America. And I don't see why it shouldn't be a success there as well.
Fantastic. Talk to me a little bit more about your sponsorship side of things. Are you using like social media hand in hand with that? Does that kind of form part of the marketing strategy?
Yes, it does. Yeah, it's a big part of our marketing strategy. About a year ago, we took on a full-time content creator on the staff, which has been a game changer for us, really. It's just meant that we can get to gyms, we can visit our athletes, we can sponsor more athletes. So, again, that's probably a differentiator between us and our competitors. We're building content with our sponsored athletes and the gyms that we support, the competitions and events that we support, whereas not a lot of our competitors are doing that. Mm-hmm. I think our customers love it. You know, they can't get enough jiu-jitsu content. They want to learn from world champions. They want to watch jiu-jitsu videos all day. So that's been really good for us.
Incredible. Is it a kind of area that's taken off on the dark depths of TikTok yet? Is that something that you're looking at?
It probably has, but we're not quite there yet. We do actually have a TikTok account, but we don't really use it too much at the minute. Instagram's big for us, though.
Yeah. It's still quite a mystical kind of area of social media where, depending on who we speak to, it's either quite terrifying or something that people are jumping on top of. But I can imagine jiu-jitsu would be quite...
I mean, I'm probably a bit too old, to be honest. I probably need to recruit someone that's like 20 years younger than me to run the TikTok for us. But I've heard that the ROAS you can get on TikTok ads is really good.
Yeah, exactly. So it's definitely maybe an opportunity for next year. Or this coming year even. What is on your to-do list in terms of tech and future growth at the minute?
Well, we've got a few things up our sleeve for this year. We've just done a soft launch of SMS marketing, which we're quite hesitant about doing for a long time. It felt a bit intrusive, but we know some real big brands that have had a lot of success with it. So we've launched SMS. We've done a soft launch of our loyalty program, which is going to be called Legend Points. So that's hopefully going to really help out with our retention. And then obviously we've got the USA, sort of a bit longer term. We're probably going to sort of put a bit more work into our affiliate marketing. So as I said, we sponsor some really high level professional athletes in the sport, mm-hmm. but we're going to probably roll out more of an affiliate based program where people who we don't sort of officially sponsor, we can sort of work with them with like a promo code. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Shopify apps that can support this where, you know, they can offer a promo code and then we can automatically pay them a percentage of any sales it brings in.
Yeah.
So that's something we're looking at as well in different markets to help us gain a bit more market share in those areas.
Fantastic. And, you know, the podcast is all about growth. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you for your top like two or three tips in terms of e-commerce growth that we can share with our listeners. But when you look at growth in the business now, where would you like to be in 5 or 10 years time? What's your idea of growth and going forward? What would be a really great situation for you to wake up in 5 years from now?
Well, I'm not sure about numbers wise, but we want to be the the biggest and most respected brand in jiu-jitsu. So that's kind of like our 5-year goal. We've got a lot of work to do first because there's some really good brands in our space that are doing a great job. But I think the way we're growing, I don't think there's any reason why we can't be sort of top of the tree in the next 5 years.
And it does sound like you're well on your journey to do so. This is an incredible growth story, James. As I say, before I let you go, I have to ask for your 2 or 3 top tips in terms of e-commerce growth and scale. What would you like to share with our listeners as your secret sauce, so to speak?
Well, I think learning from our mistakes, I'd say get organized early. I'd say use a really good project management tool like Monday.com or Asana and set really clear goals which you can sort of review on a regular basis, hold the team to account. That's really going to help you grow. What we do is like every month we'll pick a project and we all obviously as a non-negotiable commit to doing it that month. And then before you know it, a year's gone past and your business has skyrocketed. So I think that's probably the best tip I can suggest. The other thing is I'd invest in like your tech stack and make sure you've got like the best in class. Like, for example, I've made this mistake where we've kind of like gone for a cheaper alternative when it's like, let's say, for example, Klaviyo is quite expensive. So you might go for a cheaper email marketing solution when it's like you just should really go for the best in class. Even if you've got to pay a little bit more because you've got all the support there and it's going to basically propel your business.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Oh, James, thank you so much. That was a really interesting conversation. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So that was a really interesting chat. I feel like we learned loads about setting clear goals and having a laser focus, obviously investing in the best quality technology on offer, and some really great tips on going international there as well. So don't forget to head over to the usual podcast platforms to listen to previous episodes of the Lightning 50 podcast. And in the meantime, don't forget Furniture Box, Natural Baby Shower and Beyond Retail are just a few of the ambitious retailers who have integrated PeopleVox warehouse management system to take their e-commerce stack to the next level. With lightning fast pick and pack workflows, easy user training and 360 degree transparency into your warehouse operation, anyone who has used PeopleVox will tell you that the platform is a genuine game changer. Not only does PeopleVox enhance your customer experience by tightening inventory control and cutting out packing mistakes, it also boosts your efficiency and unlocks growth for your business. So if you're ready to transform your business, head over to peoplevox.com today. And to our listeners out there, thank you so much for listening. And until next time, goodbye.